Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's Mike Shope
and the Bulldog.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Monday, Tuesday, hump day is halfway.
It's Mike Shope.
Mike. What day is it, Mike?
And the Bulldog.
Hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on, I know you can hear me.
It's Mike Shope
and the Bulldog.
Guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
On WGR.
Hump day!
Sports Radio 550.
Gonna be there in an hour.
Hi there, going it alone today. Bulldog didn't make it. He succumbed to coughs and chills and who knows what else. No official word, like Lindy Ruff today. I really can't give you an update. How funny but not funny is it to Ruff to have his first on-ice practice with the Sabres in, well, what is it? I guess I should know, 11 years, whatever it is. And he's got, listen, guys, he passed the puck and he left. That's the first update. Poor Lindy. The first update he has to give, the first question probably, right? Wouldn't that have been the first question? I don't know. I'll talk to Paul later. Is Rasmus Dahlin, he passed the puck and he felt something. Wouldn't you rather have heard like that he just got blasted and, you know, we took him off the ice because, he was suffering and we felt that that was precautionary, that was right to do. But no, it's like these are the ones that scare you when it's just like, oh. So we'll talk to Paul later and see what he knows. But just like the Sabres, you know, there is not, it's like last year, I think. I don't know, maybe even this year's level of optimism with fans might surpass last year's. Last year at this time, they had come off a season under Don Granato, where they had missed the playoffs by 1 point. Of course, that makes that the closest they had been since making it in 2011. You know, some of you can't remember the last time the Sabres, some of you do not remember, have no recollection of the last time the Sabres ever being in the playoffs. You know, teenagers would not remember that. So 22-23, 1 point out, and last summer, I mean, it was, what were we talking about? It was, can Devon Levi handle a number one goalie position in the NHL right out of college? Like young college, like Barrasso almost, who was in high school. That's a long time ago. But just, this was the kind of thing that is just about unprecedented. But if it happened, the Sabres looked like the kind of team that could be even really good. So I think I would say, as I remember it and think about it now, last year it was exciting to look forward to the season. You know, most everybody that mattered was back. They didn't have, you know, well, just whatever. Like they were not coming from the bottom and you're just sort of trying to talk yourself into a good season. 2 years ago, we would have considered that year a big step forward, going from what they were to 1 point away from the playoffs. You know, some optimism. I, like I say all the time, and this is how I operate, what do the betting markets say? And the betting markets did not really share that optimism for the Sabres, whether it was because of goaltending or just whatever. It would have been everything put together. And it was more just like, I remember last year at times being like, I don't want to be like this, but, you know, their over-under for points is 80-something, and it's not unanimous here. We talked to, you know, probably Greg Wyshynski, Travis Yost, other guests. It was definitely not even considered likely that the Sabres would make that step. But it was possible. So young, a lot of talent, it was possible. So this year, I think it's both. It's Lindy Ruff being back brings, you know, it's the feels. And I'm subject to that. I admit it. And I'm not usually here for the feels. But I am, as a fan, desperately hoping for anything that makes me really like this again. This is a chance worth taking. So I'm in. I think he's credible enough, and it feels good, and I'm here for it. But roster-wise, like, it's not that different. Skinner left. It's kids again. You know, a couple of role-player types. It's really not that different. You have Luukkonen's season last year, but I know better. No offense to the guy, but I know better than to lean into that. It's just not reliable enough. No matter who your goalie is, you cannot trust that position. Statistically speaking, you cannot trust that position to just sort of repeat for you. So every one of these Sabres years, well, not everyone. Some of them are so desperately bad, they're not this. But several of these years, it's kind of wasted because, you know, a lot of them, 2 years ago you had the offense, but they couldn't, you know, they didn't have the goaltending, they just miss. Other years, the defense is kind of stable, they're harder to score on, but there's just nothing up top. And they have not had, I guess unless you want to say last year, they have not had a season where they got winning goaltending. You know, last year they kind of did, but still, you know, special teams, still like not even really close. So this year, I think you have some optimism for Luukkonen, some for Ruff, some for, I mean, other guys, any individual guy, Jack Quinn being healthy from the start of the season, different things. But I don't think, I guess I want to look more, but I don't think it's really reflected in the betting markets again. And listen to how it starts. Of course, Chance Dahlin is fine, and, you know, it's just something we laugh about if we even remember it. Just like imagine Ruff first day and like right immediately at practice today. Wow. Go Sabres. All right. Again, Paul, that'll be at 4:30. I've got a guest coming on from Jacksonville at 4 Eastern, and also Sal Capaccio will check in at 5 to the Bills. And I welcome your calls on this at 803-0550 this hour. I think it's just by a lot the most interesting thing right now in football is what's happened to offenses. Scoring is down, not by miles, but passing is down by miles. Running is up. And everybody in the game, you know, in media, my Twitter is like, it seems 80%. And this is fantasy guys too. Fantasy, this, I consider myself a part of that world. We want to be able to understand it. We want to know what's going on. We want to be able to explain it, or at least just understand it. How is Josh Allen throwing for 139 yards? How is Justin Herbert throwing for 270 yards over two games? And they're not so atypical. How is Patrick Mahomes last in the league in average depth of target? Like, what is going on? Is it just two high safeties was all we needed to figure out as a sport to basically cancel $50 million a year quarterbacks? Does that make sense? I mean, it does to a point, but will it continue? This is the most interesting thing right now in the league, and I don't know what's second. The Bills are, so far at least, I mean, this is kind of obvious watching them, but going back to all summer of talking about it, they're kind of suited for it. You know, they have Allen as a fallback. That's so weird. I mean, why? How did it end up there? Is that over? How did it get there? Where you're the franchise quarterback that every team forever has coveted and hoped for, get lucky in the draft, trade if it's possible, whatever we've got to do, you do not exist. We have said this for more than a decade. You just do not exist in the NFL without a quarterback of this caliber. What's the point? Miami has a guy who's pretty good. He led the league in passing yards last year. I mean, he's pretty good. But nobody puts him on the top tier. And so what happens? They lose. They beat bad teams. They're okay. They make the playoffs. We've had a lot of these guys over the years. The Bills have not, for most of those drought years, the Bills really never even ascended to that level, but it was almost better because once you got to that, as I used to think of it, the Dalton Tannehill level, you were kind of stuck. You were good enough. You weren't irrelevant. You were good enough to compete. You were never good enough to beat the top teams or win big. So anyway, we all knew this, and here are the Bills en route to Allen. They're trading up twice in the first round. They geared up for it. They trade out the year before, which ends up being Mahomes, of course. We're not ready. New coach. He gets his GM in here after that draft. Just gearing up for it. Let's get in position so that next year, and they would have had knowledge about the quarterback class. I mean, what, five went in that first round? Next year's the year for this. And let's go. And they get to Allen, and now it seemed unlikely, but now it's possible that we can be really good. And then it happened. So you've got what you need. They've had good defenses, okay, but I could live without them. Other of these top quarterback teams don't always have good defenses. Kansas City 2 years ago didn't at all. Last year they did. They won anyway. This is how it is. You get to that quarterback and you're live for a championship. Has that changed? Is it crazy to think that maybe it has? 803-0550. I think this is the most interesting thing in the sport right now. And much of what makes it interesting is I think everybody's trying to figure it out. You know, there are different theories. We have tackled a couple of these this week. I talked to Ross Tucker about this yesterday. You've got defensive alignments. You've got not just alignment, but lighter defenses, you know, lighter guys. Not so much built to stop the run. The NFL figured out that's not so important. It's not as important as it was 20, 30 years ago. So we're going to be 5'6 DBs. Even at linebacker, we're going to be lighter and try to beat you that way. And it's working. It's working because teams don't really, it doesn't feel good, I think, for a lot of these teams to go back. They didn't spend $50 million a year on their running back and their offensive tackles necessarily. They spent it on their QB. So what is he, is Josh Allen a game manager now? Because there's just no way. It's not better to try to beat people, you know, through them. What you had in Allen on Thursday night in Miami, and this is a function of that the Dolphins really couldn't execute, and they turned the ball over, and they kind of were done in this game by halftime. But Bulldog and I were talking about it, I guess, yesterday, and really it's the one play Allen makes to Ty Johnson where you're like, yep, okay, that's what this guy can do, but I don't know. What's the final score if that pass is incomplete? You know, like, I say all this. I'm looking for the conversation. I say all this, sort of thinking that there's no way the league is all the way back to, game manager. Phil Simms can make a Super Bowl, you know, like, win one. There's no way we're all the way back there. But we're some distance back there. And the question is, will this correct back? And I think it will. And I will tell you what the number one reason why I think that is. So Some of it's not going to change. Two high safeties is not going to change. If we get to a point where teams can't really throw the ball anymore, then we'll have the NFL will do what baseball did or what basketball does. Illegal defense, ban the shift. You know, there'll be some rule against, defenses were too effective, so we're going to change the rules. I mean, that's not happening mid-season, if ever. I'm not sure it'll ever happen because this sport's been pretty good at kind of the back and forth, the pendulum, offense and defense and styles. It's what makes it so interesting. I think why I would bet on, like this year, passing to turn back and everything, you know, kind of maybe just, maybe not quite to last year's extent, maybe I would say almost definitely not back to 2 or 3 years ago, the COVID year. I think the NFL, this is not to say that they're unique in this way. The NFL will not want the conversation to be about what happened to scoring, what happened to Mahomes and Allen, you know, what happened to our game. Everything the league does in terms of rules enforcement is in favor of offense. Although this year they come out and they're calling illegal formation three times as often, and they're calling illegal shifts twice as often. And so I guess that's not that, but that'll stop because this is what we're talking about all day now this year is scoring is down, passing is down. Fantasy, a lot of people scoff at it. Millions of people play it, and they're trying to figure out what happened to my guys. What happened to my QB1? I mean, what is this? Why didn't I draft Derek Carr? You know, instead, why didn't I just draft Sam Darnold instead or Mayfield? Guys that were semi-relevant years ago, now they're like the most productive quarterbacks in the league. And, you know, it's nuanced, right? It's complicated. There's different reasons for that. Coaching and I think expectations of those teams, let's fling it. Got nothing to lose. That's Minnesota, maybe, and their coach has been really good at opening up their passing game. I don't know. It's great to have this as a topic because there's so much to say about it. And I think, I would like to think, right now, many, if not most, fans are also kind of baffled. Maybe some are happy, confused. I don't know. One last point before your calls here. Like the Bills, whatever it's right to say, were they ready for it or did they anticipate it? I don't know. They played like this last year before the numbers came down so dramatically. That's why I expected this to happen when it comes to the Bills. But I'm telling you, if you told me in March this would happen, I don't know what we would have talked about all summer. Every single conversation about who leads them in catches and which receiver to draft and all of this would have been moot because, who cares? Why does anybody have to lead them in catches? Are we going to throw it at all? What's going to happen here? Again, I think it changes, but man, what a start. I'm expecting it not to last, and this should, I guess, at least in one way, be good for the Bills because they have Allen. I mean, I doubt the Saints really keep it up. I don't know. I'm not really focused on the Saints, but yeah, really interesting moment here in the NFL. Here's Nick on WGR. Hi, Nick.
Hi, thanks for taking the call.
Sure. But
I think it's about 5 years ago, the NFL said the defenders couldn't hit the quarterback at all, and they couldn't touch the wide receivers on a pass throw. And then last year, they started letting them hit the quarterbacks again and touch the wide receivers and bump them and push them and hit them with your arm as you're running down the field. And they're letting the defense play defense again is my big thing.
You think it'll change?
If the NFL determines they want scoring, it'll change.
they will, right?
If they want the defenders to be able to play defense, it won't.
Yeah, that's interesting. I guess I can't say that I've noticed that. I'd want to look at data on that, you know, whether that's – I don't think penalties-wise that's changed, but you're saying you notice – the league is allowing defensive players to be more physical. And I'm not saying you're wrong, but it's not something I've really been thinking about. Interesting. Thanks, Nick. Chris is next. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
So I think on defense, I would agree. I think, the increase in just using two, maybe three safeties over the top, I think is noticeable, and it's been pretty well documented. But also, you know, it's not just man or zone anymore. Like, there's those combination teams where
right.
And so I think that's part of it. But I wonder, as you were talking about this, you know, more and more quarterbacks, they're not all obviously Josh Allen or Lamar, but more and more quarterbacks can make things happen with their legs and, you know, getting outside the tackle box or just creating from inside the pocket. That coupled with what I've noticed, which I think, and I don't have data to back this up, and it's too early anyway, I think, but in flipping around Sunday, I think the defenses, they may be more physical, but they're not as aggressive. Like, I don't see a lot of, like, especially in down and distance, like, they're backing off the line. There's not as much blitzing. You might have a guy coming from, like, the corner, but
No, they're waiting for the quarterback to get out. That's right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So that's kind of what, I mean, I don't know if it'll prove, you know, over, it's a small sample size for this year, but I do know this. Whatever, if it does continue, the Bills, it's a copycat league. So, like, if the Bills are able to continue to win with, you know, this makeup that they have on offense, then I think.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Other teams will follow suit. The problem is that the good teams can do it early, then teams lag behind, right? And then it's like there's this delay, right? Because then you have to draft certain players that serve certain roles. Then by the time you get the makeup that you want to, you know, address whatever offenses are most common, then the pendulum seems to switch or swing the other way.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
You're always playing catch up, you know. I hope that the Bills.
Chris, the Bills are maybe in a great spot then for this year, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, thank you. Really good. This year for me was, I want to make the playoffs. Jets are better. Miami's pretty good. I lost all these guys. Tough schedule. Transition year. Just get in. How was it started? You know, Kansas City has squeaked out two wins. They're still, like, top of the heap. And maybe Houston's as good. But then it's the Bills. The Ravens are 0-2. The Bengals are 0-2. The Dolphins are really in trouble. The Jets have not looked that good. And you might just be built right for this season. And Chris is talking about adapting through the draft and off seasons. Well, that's going to have to wait for other teams. I think, you know, this means nothing to, like, the actual Bills, but just for our conversations, I think it's reasonable to be thinking about the one seed again. And maybe you always have been. And it's, you know, a lot of people kind of scoff at, what are we talking about? Like, the season's just starting. Of course you want to be optimistic. But, you know, analytically, to me, like, the odds reflected this. That was a very tough, much tougher, you know, task for the Bills this year, it seemed. And the way it started, I mean, the schedule, I'm not taking Monday night for granted. I think that's kind of a sneaky, tough spot there. But then it's the Ravens who are troubled, Houston, the Jets. Like, get through, lose one game of these next four, and you were in pretty good shape. And the Chiefs, We did this yesterday with their schedule. The Chargers maybe are interesting. Even the Raiders, Atlanta, New Orleans, they play in week five. It's just great and wild and fun how it tips. And the schedule, you know, quality of competition, style of play already. I mean, I guess somebody could have seen all that coming. But that has been beyond me. And I just love how changeable everything is and how interesting it is. Thanks again, Chris and Nick. Lines are open, 803-0550. What do you think is happening? 803-0550. What do you think is happening in the NFL? Guests 4, 4:30, and 5, including Paul and Sal. Mike Shope here. Bulldog is out sick. This is WGR.
I think the league is growing, it's changing, evolving, if you will, as well. And rosters are built in some ways maybe a little bit different than they used to be built. And schematics have changed a little bit as well. So I think with that, you're seeing the game change then as well.
I mean, just generally speaking, yes. I think it would be really interesting, like so many things with this sport, to really talk to Sean McDermott about that. But this, most of what he thinks or knows, he does not want you to know. And that's how that goes. The Bills are playing a lot of too high safety, cover two, and even in man coverages. Like a lot of teams have really leaned into that. The Bills are definitely one of them. And it's working. And, you know, one of the callers we've taken already talked about how, you know, many different looks teams are showing. And because of McDermott's point, you know, partly because of that, that flexibility maybe in personnel that you would have when you're building your roster, that just probably seems logical, avails teams to be able to do more of that, where they're just not as one note, you know, interior line, linebackers, especially linebackers, maybe safeties, just being able to be just different combinations, different looks, really, even with the very best quarterbacks in the game, or some of them, offenses are in a little bit of a jam right now. What is your theory? It's been fun already today taking your calls at 803-0550. I was excited to get to the next guy, but he just dropped off because he, it said on the screen, was going to bring up one point that I think is a popular one in this conversation right now, and that's the preseason. So why are offenses, this isn't so much run versus pass. Oh, it can be. It's, you know, sort of easier to run the ball. I don't mean well, just at all, where passing requires, you know, a certain level of timing and intricacy. Ross Tucker yesterday on the show pointed out how, I like this point. Ross kind of gives us one thing every week that really makes you, it's like a different way to have it be put, and it makes me think. And yesterday it was that one player on offense messing up can ruin the play. Whereas on defense, if one player messes up, doesn't necessarily mean anything. And if you have a team, if you have teams now, offenses now, that are just not well organized yet, lack of reps in the preseason, lack of practice time, everything put together, then it makes sense that they wouldn't be as sharp. And if you're not as sharp, you compensate how? You know, you kind of keep it simple. And if it's working, especially because of these other points, lighter defenses and defenses being more careful, you know, not to get beat over the top, then this is where you end up, where James Cook is ripping off 50-yard runs, you know? Really, really cool to think about where this might lead. I'll say again, and I'll look for your calls here in a moment, at 803-0550, I think it changes back. Mostly because, and maybe the preseason point, the reps point naturally fits into this, that the league won't let it not happen. The league does not want to be a run and stop the run league, you know, like grandpa's NFL. They don't want that. Quarterbacks are getting paid tens of millions of dollars a year, even like just the pretty good ones. And it will all just collect as looking like a miserable investment, terrible strategy for teams to be paying those guys. It can anyway, but this is not what it was supposed to look like. And I think in certain ways, the league will make sure that it goes the other way here pretty soon. Jim is next. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Mike. Yeah, that was me that dropped off. I just called back. One of the reasons, I think the predominant reason, is the preseason. It used to be, you know, that it plays at least a combined in the four games or three games, whatever it was, a half here and a half there. I don't know that the top quarterbacks even got more than a dozen plays in.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I don't know if you heard Kuiper, Mel Kuiper yesterday, he went off on the fact that they benched Bryce Young. He said the only preseason time he got was a late game drive against the Bills. Yeah. I think he's right. I think even Richardson didn't get anything, and you can see that. Even the younger quarterbacks aren't getting the time they need. They absolutely need the time to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Also, there's a ton of younger quarterbacks and a bunch of rookies starting. Also, there's a bunch of new coordinators in new places. So I think you'll see it smooth out after week four, probably. Four, five, six will start to get better.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks, Jim. And good points. All those points, I think, push you in the same direction. More experience, more improved familiarity between quarterback or players and coach, the league's motivation, like I mentioned, everything, you know, takes you in one direction. It's not going to change how defenses line up, though. And so we'll find out what kind of a difference all of that momentum in that way will make. It's a good point about the young quarterbacks. This is something that we talked about a couple of times yesterday, too. I count eight teams where you're talking about rookies and Bryce Young, second year, Richardson, guys that have not, in some cases, to say the very least, accomplished anything. They're not there yet. Caleb Williams is the best example for this. Like, he looks rough. And I think we kind of all thought he would look fine right away. So there's a lesson to be learned. And if you have a quarter of the NFL, Chicago, Washington, Carolina, quintessentially, and Indianapolis, and these other teams, Tennessee, looking like they just don't know what they're doing. The quarterback play is just not really professional yet. Well, what's that going to look like? How many passing yards is Anthony Richardson or Will Levis or any of these other guys supposed to accrue? I mean, it kind of makes sense. But teams have heard for, you know, increasingly over the years, got to get the rookies on the field, find out every day where Drake May doesn't play or Michael Penix doesn't play is a day wasted where you're not finding out anything about what you've got in the player. The clock immediately starts ticking on your rookie deal, and he probably is going to develop better on the field than off. Those teams, like New England, more interestingly, Atlanta has Cousins, is not doing that, and I understand why. But that's all the pressure on teams to get those guys on the field. I applaud Chicago and Washington for not playing games about their top two overall picks, Heisman winners. You know, like, yeah, get them out there. That's right. But it really doesn't account for whether they're prepared. We sort of like treat that as irrelevant. And this is what it can look like. All right, good stuff. Here's Kevin next. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
So at the expense of sounding a little bit arrogant, I think coaches are just wrong about running the ball more.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you look at the statistics, you see that 21 teams have better passing expected points added than running. Running the ball is supposed to add to your consistency and success, but teams still have, or 22 out of 32 teams still have better success rate passing the ball than running the ball.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is almost like coaches want to run the ball and want there to be a swing back, and I almost see it as like almost like a dead cat bounce of, like, you know, coaches trying to hold out hope for that. I think there's a lot of opportunity in the coach that says, you know, I'm still going to pass the ball even into these two high safety looks.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, excited to see what teams kind of take that opportunity.
Yeah, I like it. You're right. Thanks, Kevin. I saw that from Kevin Cole today, that EPA expected points added is still definitely not by as much as in previous years, but it still favors throwing the ball. It's independent of all these other points. I think about the preseason. Do you think the league will go back, though, to playing guys in the preseason? They might even take another game away. That's the consensus belief, is that soon enough it'll be 18 and 2. 18 regular season games and 2 preseason games. It's still right that having your top guys get hurt in the preseason is like such a waste. Teams are afraid to risk it. But is this year going to mean teams go back to starting their stars in preseason games? I wonder. I think there's still enough motivation to not do that. But Mahomes did. I mean, that's one team where the quarterback plays in the preseason, not all the time. Here's Ernie next. Hi, Ernie.
Hey, Mike.
Hello.
Love the show.
Thank you.
Got a scenario for you. If this isn't just teams kicking off the rust, you know, not having preseason, are we looking at defenses that are building for the high-flying offenses? So, okay, you're going to throw this at me. This is what I'm going to prepare for. Lighter, faster guys. Well, offensive coordinator looks at that and goes, huh, let's run the ball. Yeah. So now we're going to build back towards running backs being more sought after, higher paid, and things like that. You know, the OJ years, guys shoot for 2,000 yards. And then defense is going to say, okay, they're running. Let's build up our front line, get bigger, you know, stronger guys, stop the run, and we're just, you know, going to keep going through these kind of cycles.
That
could be the case.
Yeah, thank you. That I don't think we ever get to. Not nearly that far, because of some of the points that have been made, the investment teams have made in quarterbacks, the appeal of the league as a passing league versus running, and really it's the previous caller's point most of all, that there still isn't more value in a running play. So I'd be willing to do more of it if this is how you're going to line up against me, but I still need, if I'm going to be that team, and this is what, you know, makes me wonder about the efficacy of this Bills plan, is am I going to run 12 play drives? I mean, if I break a big run, that's great, but I'm not going to be able to do that. Is this actually better for me? And I'm not yet to the point where I think it is. You know, I recognize how the season has started, but I'm not yet like signing for a Bills season that continues in this mode and like they just roll. They're going to be good either way, and they already have been good. But like I've said all day, I think it goes back the other way. I think there are plenty of reasons to expect that. And at that point, it is going to matter if Josh Allen has a number one receiver. It is going to matter, you know, if Dalton Kincaid is going to actually run routes down the field and get the ball, which this season, again, has started like without that happening. I think I'm holding on. Like, I think eventually you're going to need that or you're going to lose. Do we get to a point where teams are just going to make their running backs their top investment because that's how you have to play to win? No, I don't think so. But it's gone that direction here so far this year for sure. Thanks, Ernie. Mike Shope here. Bulldog is off. Back to your calls next on WGR. Welcome back. It's been a good conversation this first hour on the shift in play in the NFL. Teams running the ball more. The Bills are one example of it. Josh Allen throwing for 139 yards against Miami. Modest numbers the week before. Attempts are down. Yards are down. 2-0. I'm not saying it's necessarily a problem, but it's definitely a trend. And we're talking about, like a lot of people in and around the sport are right now, will it continue? Let's go to Cliff next. Hi, Cliff.
Hey, how you guys doing?
I'm fine.
So, of course, the league went to 2 high safety because people like Mahomes and Josh Allen were lighting them up. And then when Joe Brady came, you know, that wasn't working with Dorsey going over the top anymore. So now it's more of a patient game, and that's why they keep on saying we just need – that's why Buffalo's motto this year is everyone eats. And it doesn't matter where the ball goes. We can throw it short to Curtis Samuels, and this is like a Cole Beasley, but there's like 3 of them. You know, we can share the wealth. Now, trust me, I don't want, you know, Hollins to be our wide receiver 1, but he caught a touchdown. Everybody eats. And, you know, I was very skeptical, but now I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. Like, hey, this may be working for us. And, you know, when they do go to a single high safety, or if they do go man-to-man, you know, we got the best quarterback in the league. We got the MVP this year. Now, I think it's, you know, now we're going to be playing chess out there instead of playing checkers, and we're going to see if Josh Allen can read the defense and see if we could do this. And I believe that we have the tools to be successful. I disagree that we need a wide receiver one this year because of the scheme that we have going forward. And another thing, we might be running the ball too because, yes, our defense is good, but maybe we don't see much of them, and that's why they are good, because we're keeping time of possession with James Cook running all over them.
Well, that's not really happened, though. I mean, some of this I think is right, but the Bills are not dominating time of possession. Miami ran 30 more plays than the Bills. Like, it's Cook isn't running all over anybody. His yards per carry is okay. Not looking for another debate on him. They're really not that successful running the ball, but they've won their two games, and there have been different reasons for that. They've been fine in that area. You know, everybody snacks. This isn't eating, right? 4 catches in 2 weeks, 5 for Kincaid with negative total air yards. That's not eating. That's, you know, you're it's a piece of celery, maybe some dip. Everybody's not eating. Nobody's eating. Maybe Cook. Nobody's really eating. This is not eating. I'm gonna stay there until you end up with numbers that it looks like, you know, you would be satiated from this. This is just nibbling. Everybody nibbles so far. Thanks, Cliff. Joe is next. Hi, Joe. No, Joe. Coming up, Jacksonville. So what's going on there? Ryan Green, 92.5 in Jacksonville, will join me Monday night. One of two Monday night games. The other is Washington at Cincinnati. The Bills for their game are 5.5-point favorites, total of 45.5. So that's easy. 25.5 to 20 is your implied score. I think Jacksonville is probably going to be feisty in this game. I don't think they deserve to really be called a bad team, and they are 0-2. So, and they've lost. They had a losing streak going back to last year, too. We'll try to figure it out. Trevor Lawrence, Gabe Davis, and the Jaguars. Also, next hour, Paul Hamilton will slide in. What happened to Rasmus Dahlin today? Left practice early. Paul was on with me yesterday talking about Yuri Kulik, who was a star at the Prospects Challenge, and his chances of making the team, everything else, with Lindy Ruff being on the ice with the Sabres, of course, today, and that with Paul. And Sal Capaccio will join me at 5. No Bulldog today. He's not feeling well. This is Mike Shope on WGR.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.